probably snow coming. Yeah, you can. I mean, hey. Winter is coming. Oh, a lot of praise the Lord's out there. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Jude. We're going to start with verse 24. It's one-page book there. Jude, verse 24. My message tonight is God is the great keeper. How many of us God's able to keep that which is committed to him? More than ever, I really feel that we need to identify with Christ and not be ashamed of who he is or his people either. In this world, there's instability on every level. We're allowing things to be legislated that, man, I never thought I'd see in my lifetime. But all the more as we see the day approaching. Say amen. In Jude 24, it says, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Father, these next few moments, Lord, our ears to hear, anointing upon. Lord, our eyes to see in the name of Jesus. Lord, discernment deep within our hearts. Teach us, Lord God, line upon line, precept on precept. Lord, instill this message deep within our spirit so we don't sin against you in Jesus' name. How many knows God is able? Somebody say God is able. What has he been able to do already in your life? What has he been able to do to keep you and to hold you and to take you and to protect you and to provide for you? How many knows when you look at God, he's infinite? Many times we have to really get a picture of how great our God is. That he isn't a man that he should lie. He's not tired. He doesn't slumber or sleep. There's nothing that passes him by. He is Lord God Almighty. And every day we walk with him, we need to have that reassurance and also that awareness that I have Christ in me, the hope of glory. More than ever, I need him to keep me from errors of doctrine, errors in the spirit, outward sins, neglect of duty or ignorance, idleness, backsliding. Is he able to keep me from all of this? Yes or no? Notice the word to keep you. It means this, to protect you from seduction and preserve you in love. In verse 21 says, keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus unto eternal life. In 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 3, it says this, but the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and keep you from evil. Lord, keep us from these things. More than ever, we live in a society that anything goes now, as you well know. We're calling good evil and evil good across the board. And many even believe those lies. When you're deceived, you don't know you're deceived. That's how it works. More than ever, I hear individuals spouting off what they believe or what they stand for. And I'm here to tell you, much of the world is in deception. The Bible says in the last days, people wouldn't want to retain God in their knowledge. So he gave them over to that. You want that? Okay, you can have it. More than ever, in all the years that I've been saved, you can see the dividing line is there. There's no longer gray area. It's either black or white when it comes to sin or Savior. More than ever, Jesus' name's being bantered about as a cuss word or something that's weak. I'm here to tell you, he's Lord of all. We should never be ashamed of our God. When it comes to these things, no matter what we face, I don't know how dark it's going to get in this society before the Lord comes. But what I do know is this verse is for us. He will keep us from falling. He will keep us and preserve us. Because you belong to the Lord. Is your God mighty? How many of you parents ever protected your children? Remember when they were little and the thunder broke out and the dog freaked out and the kids ran in the room? How many of us, they just wanted some reassurance? How many ever came home and the power's off and you're like fumbling around for the light switch? That flashlight, those batteries are dead. That's not working. But you wanted to have a reassurance. You wanted something to turn on. You wanted to be able to see. You know what? I mean, as blessed is he who has the Lord, his strength and hope. Secondly here, no one but the Lord can keep you. The word falling means to stumble or strike against. When I look at this word here, the Lord's able to keep you. He is the only one. No program will prop you up. No person will be that person to keep you in that area. You could receive some good counsel, but only the Lord can keep you. He's the one that can strengthen you. He's the one that's able to help you. In 2 Peter 1 verse 10, wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to your calling and make your election sure. Amen? For if you do these things, you'll never fail. In James 3 verse 2, for in many things we offend all. If any man offends not in word, he is a mature or a perfect man, able to bridle his whole tongue. When I look at Jesus, he never makes mistakes. But he can make me live and walk that I don't miss a step either. How many want to have a strong step? Many times there's a stumbling, and maybe you've stumbled sometime in your life. How many ever had a little mishap, a failure, or whatever? Okay, some of you. How many of you can still get back up? But woe unto us if we put a stumbling block before our brothers. Say amen. We have to do all within our heart. I'm not going to put a stumbling block there. Sometimes you have to even deal with the pain or hurt. Sometimes you may get railed upon. Sometimes you just got to endure it. Because it doesn't do much good to lash back out. Say amen. We cannot keep ourselves. We have to be kept by him. In this world, there's no places of guarantee. There's no security in our homes, in this or this or this, our jobs. It's only through Christ that we have this victory. I said only through Christ that we have this victory. I've seen people spend a whole lot of time trying to get their life right by doing other things. But temptation is always there. When I look today, more than ever, I see across the board people going headlong towards whatever's new, whatever fad is there. And just because a multitude of people do it doesn't mean it's right either. Even in our laws today, come on. Sometimes common sense goes out the window. If we think by legalizing marijuana for folks is going to make society better, we're foolish. We're foolish. Come on. When I look at Christ, he doesn't put a stumbling block in any of our lives. Every time he places our foot, it's on a solid rock. But I've noticed the enemy comes and tries to slime that which we're ascending up. It's like we're climbing that holy hill. And it feels like sometimes he tries to slime that so we slip or fall. But sometimes you just got to hold on to that area and say, you know what, my God's able to provide. He will clear my path. Some of you have experienced great persecution. People coming up against you. It can come as close as your own family. But the truth is, if you continue and be faithful, God will see you through. Amen. He always vindicates the righteous. Too many times we take it in our own hands when you just need to release it to the Lord. Because I'm here. The truth is this, I'd rather deal with you than the Lord in those situations. How many knows when he says, vengeance belongs to me, I'll repay. How many knows God knows what he's doing? Hallelujah. Third area, the Lord can keep us. Look at verse 24. Now to him who's able to keep you, he's able. He's the only God who can. His wisdom is part of his ability. Hallelujah. By teaching us, listen to me, we don't have to be ignorant when it comes to sin. God can expose that area. Now, if it's a gray area, I'm here to tell you, you need to take a long look at that. It may not be sin, but you may not want to go, I don't want to deal with that either. Say amen. Come on, we always have to look at our brothers too. You know what? For conscience sake. If this causes our brother to stumble, don't do it. Amen? Look at them and say, you know what? I care for you. I don't even want this to be part. I think sometimes we all need to do a little inspection in our own homes too. Say amen. I'm going to have a service here coming soon that my message is going to deal with, let's empty the house. Bring the stuff you don't need anymore. Bring the stuff the Lord's delivered you from. Say amen. We'll make a pile of it and throw it away. How many knows we all need to make that inspection? If the Lord's able to keep me, then why would I want to place anything there that would cause me to stumble? By his word, he warns us. He says, look, observe these things. I know this, by affliction and pain, we can learn from there too. But that's a terrible way to learn, isn't it? How many ever had some pain to get your attention? How many had to look at the bottom and go, oh man, I need to make a change. But thank God that even in that condition, you can make a change. Hallelujah. No one's without hope here. The Holy Spirit renews that desire for holiness in our lives. I believe if we're a Christian, we should desire to walk holy as he's holy. Should that be part of our life? Listen, I struggle at times when somebody gets saved and they never strive for holiness. They never strive to live righteous in their life. I really look at that. If that seed of Christ is in you, it causes you to say, Lord, I want to know you more. I want to grow in that grace. I have enough flesh. I don't need to go that way. I need to go in righteousness. We got to cultivate that area. Since everything starts with a seed, listen, I need to take that seed of the word, and let it germinate. Here's another caution. Never get calloused in God's house that a message just becomes another message and you become unaffected by it. Because that means you're starting to get full of more of self than the word. Because the word always produces more word. Oh, I can preach that. I've been a pastor long enough to see. Listen, if you ever say I'm not getting fed, you know what the problem is? You're not eating. Oh, man. I'm kicking over every rock. Because my job is not to sustain you. Your job is to feed you. Say amen. I don't hold the golden spoon to your mouth. Ooh. I'll be nice. Look at verse 24. Now to him who's able to keep you from falling, and next step, and present you what? Without fault, without blemish. What, isn't that a wonderful experience? That not only can God present you and keep you, he's going to bring you to the place where you can be faultless before him. I have a lot of faults in the flesh. But God's able to change that in my life. He's able to see Christ in me, the hope of glory. And if I'm quick to repent of this, I'm quick to change of this, you know what? He washes and renews me of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that neat to know that the Father can look at you like he looks at Jesus? That I have very access to the very throne of grace. Once I was separate from God, but now I become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We have to take advantage of that relationship. We have to walk in that. Are you hearing me? In Ephesians 1 verse 4, according to he has chosen us before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Ephesians 5:27, that he might present us a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that we should be holy and without blemish. Only Christ Jesus can do this. Not a self-help program. I love it that I can be faultless before him. Isn't that so awesome? In my mind, I can think of a million things I've done wrong. But if I repent and I'm in Christ, I'm faultless. Satan can bring all the accusations he wants. God looks and says, they're clear. They are clear. And if you're reminding God of your sin after you repent, he doesn't remember them anymore. He says, as far as the east is from the west, that's how far I removed your sin from you. Oh, isn't that good news? I'm glad that he blots out those handwriting of ordinances, those things we've done wrong. It's blotted out. I love that. That if we're true in our repentance, man, I can become faultless before him. You know what that means? I have the same access Jesus does to the very throne of grace. I also have the privilege of asking, just like Jesus, what I need for mankind. Is there any difference between you and Christ when you get saved?
No.
I mean, as I become his kid. Now, I know he's the King of Kings. Don't get me wrong. I know positionally we'll never have that position. But I belong to him now. I'm a child of God. As a child of God, I have alien rights with him. Hallelujah. Man, we should live that out. We should experience that. We should walk in that, knowing that in 1 Peter 1:19, but as a precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without spot and without blemish, he became sin who knew no sin, that I could become right. Hallelujah. How many want to keep your mouth shut sometimes? In Revelation 14, verse 5, and in their mouth was found no guile. There was no fault before the throne of grace. Many times we can do the right actions, get those right, and out of here do something that we shouldn't. I mean, it was when we can start to get this right too, we become mature in those arenas. And believe me, it'll be tested sometimes. How many ever been torqued off at something? Oh, four of you, all right? Come on. How many had somebody cut you off driving? How many here you have to like kind of tone it down when you're driving? You get that kind of like, especially around the holiday time. I don't know why, but it seems like, I don't know why when I go to stores, I always pick the wrong line. I always pick it. There could be one person in this line and 15 in this line, and those 15 will go through before I get this one through. Or is that anybody else in here?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Maybe we'll be in the same store sometime. We'll have a good conversation as we're going through. I remember one time I went to this store and I was the second person in line. And I looked over and I go, there was a whole big line. And I kind of look at some of the people and they kept going and they kept going. And this person, every item needed a price check. Even though I know they have barcodes today. Come up wrong. I got to get the manager. And the person comes over and takes the little key and scans it. And the person came like three times. And I watched these people go through. And I swear to God, after the last one went through, I stepped over into this line and checked out. And I'm like, man, if I'd have just got in that line the first time. How many don't want to sin out of your mouth? We have to be there too. But I want it not so much that I'm not doing it. It's just not in me to do it. There's a big difference. I mean, Jesus didn't curse because it wasn't in him. Say amen. Lord, work that out. The washing of the word and the renewing of the Holy Ghost flushes that out. So if it's out, it doesn't come out. I need that. All of us need that cleansing power to work deep within us. Is this good today? I want to live without the stain of sin. Not even the enemy, Satan himself, the arch blamer, come along and bring reproach. I'm washed and cleaned. He can say all that he wants, but Jesus is my judge. Yes. Hallelujah. He's my jury. He's my everything. He's my lawyer. He's my advocate. He has called me clean. Yes. And here's the next step he takes. Whatever penalty that this person deserves, I paid for it. Yeah. And I'll continue to pay for it. Hallelujah. Isn't that awesome? He'll always be my Savior, even though I'm saved. He'll always be my King. He'll always be my righteousness, even though I become righteous. Since none of us can deliver ourselves, only our Savior, which is good. He will deliver us. Look at verse 24. How's he going to deliver us? What posture will he take? It says this, who's able to present you faultless before his presence with exceeding great joy. How God's going to deliver you is not because, oh man, I got to do this for you, brother. I got to touch you. No, with great joy, he'll deliver you. Exceeding great joy, he'll deliver you. I love that. God isn't looking at our lives like, oh man, I got to do this. He wants to do it. He is overjoyed to present you faultless. That's a good demeanor, wouldn't you say? That means if I come to him and I'm repented, he is so happy to deliver me. I want that to work in your spirit. When you come to God, he is so happy. He has exceeding great joy to do it. No wonder he says, ask me. Ask me and I'll do it. I'm so excited for you. I want the best for you. Do you know when you're happy, you have more energy? Isn't that true? I've never had that time of joy and it's like, man, yeah, it's good, man. It's going to be a good day. Sometimes you need to speak that when it isn't such a good day. Today's the day the Lord has made. I will what? I will rejoice and be glad in it. Well, you know, sometimes you got to get that out of your mouth in your heart. It's easy to be negative. True? It's easy to build upon that, brick upon brick. But we need to speak that with exceeding great joy. I love that. When you meet him, he is not a sad sack. Heaven is going to be filled with joy and laughter. You're going to be so happy. You're just like, I can't get any happier. Amen? That's why anyone who goes to heaven doesn't want to come back. Because that's the environment. That's the environment God sets. And that's the one we need to set to. Now, I know there are tears. We weep with those who weep. But we should also rejoice with those who what?
Rejoice.
But you know what? You can't stay in a weeping mode. You can't stay in depression mode because it'll take all your strength. That's why the joy of the Lord needs to invade back in and change that area. Especially after a passing of a loved one. You need to mourn, but then you need to turn that mourning into some laughter.
Amen.
Amen. Think of some good things that were done. Some great memories that were there. Is this good tonight?
Yes.
He's able to keep. Well, you know what? If he's so happy to meet me, then shouldn't I be happy to meet him? This should work in our devotion time. It's like, man, I can't wait to be with the Lord. Amen. If Jesus came over your house saying, hey, I'm going to come over your house on Tuesday at 4. I'm going to bring Moses and Joshua and Caleb with me. I'm going to be like, I'm ready to go, Lord. Wouldn't that be a cool sight? I believe it can happen in heaven. I believe that those that are there and they'll sit with you and they're not going to go, oh, who are you? Oh, you lived during that time there? No, they'll be just as excited to sit down with you. What was it like to live for the Lord in that ungodly age where every image was continually evil all the time? They had to overcome things. In fact, to me, it seemed like they had to overcome more of life, working life out than we did. But look what we got to overcome. Amen? Living in tents, being nomadic, shooting your food every day. How many knows that was a lot of work?
Oh, yeah.
Let's just face it, a lot of work. But look what we have to overcome. Sometimes you just need to unplug and turn off. Sometimes you need to go, no, I'm putting that away. Well, let's approach him with exceeding and great joy. Say God is able to deliver. In Revelation 19, verse 7, let us be glad and rejoice and give him honor, for the marriage of the supper of the Lamb has come, and her wife has made herself ready. He's so joyful to deliver us, but one day the bride is finally going to get it and go, you know what? The marriage has come. When a bride really loves the groom, she can do nothing but think about that day. Now, girls do this more than guys. When they're little, many times girls will dress up their things and have a little planned wedding with their dolls or whatnot. When I had a G.I. Joe, I had some G.I. Joes. Remember G.I. Joes? I had some of those cool G.I. Joes. Amen? I used to mess up my sister's Barbies, and I had G.I. Joes, all right? With the kung fu grip, and they had Jacques one with the dark red hair. I had all those guys. But I remember one time as a little kid, my sister took one of my G.I. Joes, and since Ken was kind of lame, anybody remember the Ken doll? She would make G.I. Joes. So you know what? I don't want a guy like that. I don't need a guy that's a little tougher than Ken doll. So I remember one time I came in, and she's playing with my G.I. Joe, and there's Barbie. And I'm like, what are you doing? That's my G.I. Joe. She says, I'm setting him up to get married. So you know what, I just sat there and I watched my sister. I'm like, well, what's she going to do? And they had a little aisle and then we love each other. I said, man, that's my G.I. Joe. It doesn't do that stuff, all right? But when a bride really loves the guy, she can't wait. She's exceedingly happy. And when it finally becomes the day, joy is full.
Yeah.
Are we anticipating our Christ coming? Yes or no?
Yeah.
Then every day we need to anticipate. You know what? The day's coming. Hallelujah. The day's coming. I'm going to rejoice in it. And one day my faith will become sight. And if the Lord doesn't come in our lifetime, it's only because he's reaching more people.
Right.
And we leave a legacy here. We sowed in this land that our children or our grandchildren or our great-grandchildren can reap that.
Yeah.
But what is our countenance like? See, God is able. Look at verse 24. Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you, say, faultless, before his presence with exceeding great joy. With exceeding, that means more than enough. His joy and strength should change that area. Now, I only had one time where the bride was really upset before a wedding. She was really upset. And when a bride is upset on her day, ooh, that's a hard thing. She was upset because the groomsmen were goofing off. The wedding rings were left on top of the refrigerator. It's like nobody was responsible. I mean, she had a right to be a little, I said, you know what? We're going to make this work. Send somebody back. Go run and get those rings. Amen? If we have to wait a few minutes to get it right, boom, boom, boom. Well, not only that, she had a tear in her dress. It's like one of those things like, oh, it's more than just one thing. And thank God that somebody was there that was a seamstress. I made a little plea. Is there anyone who can really sew in here? I need your help for a minute. And this lady, she slowly came up. She goes, how can I help? I go, the bride, she tore her dress. She goes, you know what? I'll be able to fix her up. And this lady, it's like she had this whole kit. I'm like, man, where'd you have? I had that in my trunk. I was fixing a dress at another place. And I brought. She brought everything, even a machine to come in. And I'm like, oh, this is just too cool. But so they did what they did. She took her dress, did what she did. I said, well, before you give it back to her, let me see it. Man, it was just like brand new. And when she gave it back to the bride was like tearing, crying. Would you? She was like so happy. It's like you couldn't tell that it was damaged. I mean, we all had some damage in our life. Maybe we've even soiled a little bit of the dress. But God will make it clear again. Hallelujah. He's able to remove every stain. Well, the guys finally got their act together. The rings came. They shared their words. She gave them that love look. And things were good. Amen? You guys know that love look, don't you? When she doesn't say a word, but you know exactly what she means. Hallelujah. Oh, nobody in here. You couples, come on. How many of you have ever had a struggle before a service? One, two, three. Come on. How many of those, there's a reality with that? But you muscle it through and you keep going on. Well, they got things right. I made sure that they were on good terms and the wedding went off without a hitch. The congregation didn't know what went on back there. Say amen. How many knows if you're mature, you can handle some stuff? In every family, there's stuff. And the bigger the family, the more stuff there is. Hallelujah. Well, they went through, and I will never forget, the lady who patched up the dress, she was just meek and mild. She was just so glad to. But I could tell that she added something to the service. I know sometimes in our life, we'll be able to help a brother with just a little tear in their life. I think I can help you there, brother. Wasn't asked to make the whole dress. Just I can fix that, amen? How many of us were looking out? I wonder how many times there's an opportunity like that and we could have raised our hand and said, yeah, I can do that. But we kept silent. Or maybe we felt like we could do that, but we weren't qualified to do it. I know sometimes you just got to, Lord, gift me in this area. Help me. I'm stepping out here. If he's able to keep me from falling and present me faultless, and he's doing it with great joy. Listen to me. This lady that fixed the dress wanted the bride to be so happy. How many would give her what you had? I shared it with some other people. I remember one time we came down the altar with this couple, and they came down to present the rings, and there was only one of two. And I happened to just catch a quick glance of it. So while the communion was going on, I actually pulled off my wedding ring. And I gave it to the groom, or the bride to give to the groom, so things could proceed. Nobody knew. I didn't want to embarrass them. Later, they got the rings together. I got mine back. Say amen. Amen. What would you do? This isn't for self-glory. Sometimes we need to help our brother up a little bit. In life, there's times where, you know what, we're going to make a mistake. I haven't met a perfect Christian. But I've met a perfect God who's able to keep me from falling. I met a God who can present me without fault or wrinkle. And I met a God that, you know what, he does it not because he has to, because he wants to and he gets to. It was the joy set before Jesus he endured the cross. It wasn't like, oh, Father, I'll do it, but man, I hate it. I don't really like these people anyways. They spit on me. They call me weird names. They say this about you. Can you imagine all the hurtful things that were said in the ears of Jesus that wasn't recorded? Illegitimate is what you are, Jesus. Hey, if you're God, you saved others, save us and yourself. Is this not Mary's, Joseph? Aren't there family among us? Who is this guy? He's a blasphemer. Then it gets worse. It steps into demonic. He casts out demons by the prince of demons. Could you imagine looking in the face of Jesus and speaking that to him? He endured contradictions like none of us ever did, yet without sin. And when he cried, Father, forgive them, in a bloody state, with all the joy he had, he voiced it. Father, forgive them. He knew that what he was accomplishing would bring many to righteousness. That one day we will share in his joy. Sometimes there'll be some suffering. Sometimes you'll suffer for righteousness. Sometimes somebody will come up against you. Sometimes you'll be persecuted. But if you share in this, you're going to share in his joy. And every day is going to be a joyful day. How many want some of that to start now? Now, not every day is going to be rosy. I understand that. But I want to have a joyful countenance. Is anybody here? You want to be able to look at the situation and say, you know what? God's going to help us through. I thanks be to God. When you're more joyful in worship, it flows better. Now, who is like me? You got to start it and stir it up. But once you get it stirred up, it's pretty good. It's easier to top the tank off than to take it from empty. So every day have a time to refill. If you work next to the enemy, you're going to be a whole lot drained a whole lot faster. You enjoying tonight? Look at verse 25. To the only wise God. How many wise gods are there? There is just one. It's not Confucius either. There's only one wise God. There's only one who can make the title of God. They may try to, but they're all small g's. Hallelujah. To only one wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty and dominion and power both now and forever. Amen. God, you're the only one that's wise. You're the only one that's able to keep me from falling. You've saved me from the foundation of the earth. You know myself completely. Then God, guide and govern my life. Keep my foot from falling, from stepping in those traps. Expose those things for me, Lord, because I'm going to walk with you. In myself, it's like the blind leading the blind. But if you walk with Christ, how many knows he'll keep you out of the ditch? Amen? When I look today, more than ever, we need to let that light shine. When it comes to the light, many times it's enough for the next step. Too many times we're looking so far down the road that we miss the obvious. Oh, I can preach that. Look, set your sights high and heaven's your home, but don't miss the scenery as you're traveling. I found this, that the slower I walk amongst the crowd, the more I can help pick up somebody there. I've learned in every alley and every aisleway there's somebody who needs a touch. But let me be the one to help them up. Can you be that one? You can be that one. If somebody wants what we have, it's because we possess something they don't have. Today, more than ever, when somebody says they're a Christian, instantly I think, oh man, Christ-like. Oh, instantly I think, without spot or wrinkle, exceeding great joy. Instantly those thoughts come in my mind. This is what God has promised us as believers. Then I'm not going to live lower standard than that. There are some things you need to reject. No, that's not my portion. Depression is not my portion. Spirit of heaviness is not my portion. Amen? Resist it steadfast. Sometimes you got to go, no, I'm not receiving that, and have that battle until that thought is gone. Sometimes it isn't a poof gone. Sometimes in worship, you may be loving on God and a vile thought may go, Oh, you're all perfect in here. Sometimes you're like, no, I'm not thinking that. Sometimes you need to grab a hold of those thoughts. What really makes you happy? What brings joy to your face? What's the thing in your life that you're like, oh, this is so good? I have one of those feelings after a long day, and sometimes it's real long, when I can finally get into bed and I just go, oh, bed is good. How many ever had those times where bed is good? To me, it's like I've had that feeling, like, imagine what it's like to finally be in heaven. Oh, heaven is good. Doesn't the Bible say, taste and see that the Lord is good? That means I have to dine upon that. I have to drink upon that. It says, drink deep of the wells of salvation. We haven't even exhausted all that we have within us. I need to stir up that well. Let it flow. And when it flows, it'll change this. No longer will it be salt water coming out, but fresh water only. That which is good for the taste. Today there's errors everywhere. Doctrine, spirit, whether it's print or word. There's so much neglect today. There's so much arrogance. There's so much idleness. But you know what? Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. It's a perfect opportunity for the church to shine like it's never shined before. In the early morning prayer this morning, the Lord just really dropped this in my heart. I need every man in this church to declare, as for me and my house, we're serving the Lord. Make that declaration. House, household, we're serving the Lord. How many of those men, we need to do that for our homes? Ladies, if you're the head of your home too, you take care of that, then declare over your family. As for me and my house, we're serving the Lord. Whenever Israel served the Lord and made him first, I want you to know that God blessed. And if you go through history in the Old Testament, none of the kings of Israel served the Lord, and very few in Judah served the Lord. God promised David there will always be a light in Israel through Judah. But I look today, how many times as we could have served? Let's not go down that mountain around that road again. Let's declare today he's able to keep me from falling. Amen? How many ever been tempted after you've been saved? Can this verse come alive? Yes. Lord, you're able to keep me from falling. Yes. How's he going to deliver me? With exceeding great joy. And you know what? To present me faultless before his glory, even all his angels. One day we'll give an account of our life. We can do it with great joy. How are you going to feel when he calls your name in front of his Father and all his angels? How am I going to be so thankful that I'm counted worthy to even be here? For once I was lost, but now I'm found. Once I was blind, but now I see. God's able to do that. And more than ever, he wants his power to keep you. I'm able to keep you from falling. Not how far you can get away from me. Not how far you can distance yourself from me, but keep you. I want to be kept in his hand. Hallelujah. No circumstance. Nothing is greater than our God. You enjoy this evening? Say, God is the great keeper of me. Father, keep your word deep within us, Jesus. Lord, as we ponder on this truth, Lord, that Jude got a hold of, you are able. And Lord, every sin we've committed, God, that we've repented of, you've blotted it out. That Lord, all of us have had a blemish, a failure, a struggle. But Lord, you're quick to erase that and make us white as snow. Father, I'm so thankful that with great joy, you want to minister to us. Father, for the ministers in this room, Lord, let that be their portion. With great joy, we want to meet the needs of your people. Lord, we never look at it as something we have to do. It's something we get to do. And Father, you want to present us faultless, without fault, without stumbling. So Lord, here we are. Now make this a personal prayer in your heart. Lord, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, forgive me of every sin and iniquity. Lord, I want to be holy as you're holy. Lord, I want to strive more for you than I ever have my whole life. Lord, I want to declare over my household, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Lord, that all those that come in, all those who hear will know that you are my God, that I trust in you, that I'm free to serve. Hallelujah. Now, Father, bless your people. And Lord, let us muse over your word, God, deep within our hearts, so we don't sin against you, to reflect on your character. In the mighty name of Jesus, and we thank you. Amen.